I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm
healed.
Oh, hallelujah. There's joy in this. Christ lives in me. And I in him. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm his. Oft times
down here.
I am consumed
by thoughts of doubt
and fear and gloom. But there's a thought that brings me joy. It makes me happy just to know. I'm glad I'm saved.
I'm glad I'm his.
Oh, hallelujah, there's joy in this. Christ lives in me, and I in him. I'm glad I'm saved,
I'm glad I'm his.
I have been blessed,
that's plain to see.
He has provided every need,
but the greatest gift
I have received,
His precious blood
that set me free. I'm glad I'm saved,
I'm glad I'm
his. Oh, hallelujah,
there's joy in
this. Christ lives in me,
and I in him.
I'm glad I'm saved,
I'm glad I'm his.
I'm glad I'm saved,
I'm glad I'm his.
Above the battle cry, Jesus saves. Is that what they hear down the halls of your office? Above the battle cry, Jesus saves.
I'm so glad I could stand up here because I just barely got out of the chair. But what I was meaning is, a young man says, don't you work so-and-so. I hope the day that he saw me working so-and-so, I was doing better than I do normally. I hope it was a day that I was... my conversation was right and good and holy. It says to me that people see me even when I don't remember them. They remember me. Did they remember me good? I'll ask him later. I was thinking this morning about preaching about tithes and offerings because I heard one time that this church does so good on tithes and offerings that we don't have to preach about it because we already know what to do. But I do want to brush over tithes and offerings just for those who may not have come to that place yet. A tithe is 10% of your gross income. No matter how much Uncle Sam takes out of it, the gross income, 10% is your tithe. And if by chance you give more than your tithe, it's not more tithes, it's an offering. And so when we get talked about doing tithes, we also are encouraged to give offerings. A tithe is a demand. An offering is because of love. An offering can be as big or small as it needs to be because of what you have or don't have. That's your business. But the tithe is also according to what God has blessed you with. And it says on the first day of the week, if you read Corinthians, bring your stuff into the house. So if you're going to give a tithe or an offering, it says you ought to be at the house of God on the first day of the week to give it in person. It's my fault. Y'all don't have to go with that if you don't want to. Y'all can go there. But it says on the first day of the week, bring how God has prospered you to the house. In Malachi, it says, test me, try me. Bring your offerings, bring your tithes, and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. That's not prosperity preaching, but it sure goes a long way because I can understand that before I understood what tithes and offerings was, I had a lot of things that I spent my money on. When I was straight down on what tithes and offerings was, I found out that if I could get rid of the bad habits, I could give tithes and then offerings. the bad habits were taking up my tithes and offerings. So once the all bad habits got taken care of, it was very easy to give to God. Once the things that you don't need get out of your life, it's very easy to give to God. And you'll also find out when you're doing tithes and maybe a little offering, God fixes it where the things that suck the money out of your pocket, like sicknesses and different things, they just might go away to an extent. I ain't saying that you'll never be sick. I'm sick right now. So that messes that up already, don't it? But what I'm trying to say is, when you give to God, He remembers. He, in His way, blesses. He, in His way, gives you the things you need. But when we talk about, this morning we talked about sending money to Romania. How many churches was giving the money to Romania? 60? Where is that the only country that there is? So there's other places where there are missionaries that may need support. There are other, we got the Philippines, right? And Thailand. Anyways, we have some, and Brother James is down in Australia. Well, that's just three places. In Matthew it says, go ye into all nations. That tells me we're a little bit short there. We ain't made it to all nations yet. And I'm not, if all of us went to, at one time, we would never hit all nations. But what I'm saying is our heart's desire ought to be seeing that people in all nations are getting the gospel. People in all nations ought to be hearing the word of Jesus Christ. Says in Corinthians chapter 8, those guys gave above and beyond what they had. But first they gave of themselves. So first of all, before we can worry about our tithes and our money going anywhere, we need to be able to give of ourselves. Now, I thought about that. Tithes and offerings. If I divided the work day into 24 hours, that's something like 2 hours and 40 minutes a day, or 2 hours and 20 minutes a day, somewhere there, according to my 10% thing. I'm just going with a tithe figure. That I ought to be giving 2 hours and something of my day to God diligently. It's His. He owns it. Can I look at my life and say every single day I give 2 hours and 20 minutes or 2 hours and 40 minutes without regard to God for what I do? That's a tough one. And that would include your money and everything else if you did that, because so do we really spend 2 hours and something in fervent prayer and doing and witnessing and telling someone about Jesus every day? Oh me. Oh me. Now I'll get off of that. That was enough of that. That hurt really bad right there. See that? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. That was just a prelude there to get you warmed up. And I will say this, in Romans chapter 10, this is not to say, woe is us, we ain't done nothing, or woe is anybody else, they ain't done nothing, or woe is all the churches. I believe, like I said in Titus, go into every city and ordain preachers. We are to have a missionary Baptist church in every city, not township, village, or whatever, but every major city ought to have at least one missionary Baptist church. Now, I'm not saying whose fault that is, because I know God gives the increase. But the thing is, what I'm going to say is, every one of these other churches that are called Baptist down the road are preaching a type of gospel where you can come anytime you want to. We have an absolute gospel of Jesus saves. Why aren't we talking to some of those folks and saying, here's the difference in what you're hearing, and here's the difference in what's real? You may or may not drag them out of their church. I don't want to rob churches, but I don't call that a church if they're not teaching the full truth of Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying is, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, and I would say my heart's desire and prayer is for all Gentiles out here and Israel, is for Israel that they might be saved. My heart's desire, my heart's prayer, my earnest affection is that every single soul in this building and everybody that lives in every neighborhood around this building, and if I could get any farther I would, my desire is they would be saved. They would be believers in Jesus Christ. says here, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. We pulled out of my house this morning, and I looked across the road, and a man had a American flag, and a man had a Christian flag, but I have never seen him darken the doors of a church. I have talked to that man before. I've invited that man before, but he's good with what he's got. He has a zeal for what he believes. But hanging a flag in your front yard won't get you to heaven. And I hope to God he has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ earnestly. But I would believe that if a man believes in Jesus Christ earnestly, he would be going to church somewhere. Somewhere. I would hopefully prefer that he would come to this church, but he'd be going to church. It says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That's what's wrong with the world now. They have their own religiosity. They have their own belief system. They believe that everything they've got is okay, good, and all right. But they have not submitted to just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to the fact that Jesus Christ has done all that is necessary for salvation. You don't add to Jesus Christ. You don't put something extra to Jesus Christ. You don't have a rabbit's foot in your pocket and a little doodad cross thing over here. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. They're trying to add to Christ. They're trying to add their good works. And you say, well, don't we get to, how about you talk about us doing good works? Yes, I have. But I have never, I hope, never taught good works to get saved. Good works to prove your salvation. It's good works because I love Jesus Christ. It's good works because He has first loved me. It says here, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the very end of the law for everyone that believeth. And we also have established that believing started from the foundation of the world, but it has never woken up in the person until God quickens them, till God does a work in them, till God so shows them that it's them that's in need. Bear with me just a second. I'm going to go to Corinthians for just a second. I'm going to go to Corinthians chapter 6. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And the very day that he saves you is the day he helps you to believe. When the day he brings your mind thinker around that you're the one in need, he's the one that also helps you to make it happen. And I'm not saying you make it happen, but he brings you to the thought that it has happened. He's the one that helps you. Back to the text in Romans. It says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things must live by them. And I preached this last week. If you're going to live by the law, you have to keep the whole law established. Don't do this, don't do that, don't talk on this, don't be about that, don't do all those things. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't covet, don't murder, don't bear false witness. If you're going to live by that, you've got to live by it totally and wholly. I don't ever see anywhere it says when you realize that, you get to go back and start over. See, we were violated from the get-go. We don't get to say, well, now I realize I don't need to do all those things. Can I start over now, Lord, and do all those things right? And even if he said yes, you still could not do them. Because he never says yes either. He never gives you a start over. You're born a sinner and you must be born again. You must be born by the power of God. It says here, but the righteousness which is of faith. Thank God for faith. Thank God that he gave me the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Faith, thank God he gave me the faith that when he quickened me, I could be a member of his family. It says here, but the righteousness which is of faith, speaking on this wise, saying, not in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the depths, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? Because we already know he has already risen. But what saith it? In other words, what does faith actually say? What does faith say? What saith it? Well, let's see. The word is nigh thee. In other words, it says the words of faith. You already know them. They're nigh thee. They're close to thee. You've heard them spoken over and over and over again. They're right there accessible to you. You say, man, you mean believing is right there immediately close to you? What's it say right there? The word of faith. What does it say? The word is nigh thee. The word's close to thee. The word's right there around you. It says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Uh-oh. If the word of truth is near you enough to be in your mouth, and it's near enough to be in your heart, where lies the problem? Where lies the problem? It says, that is the word of faith which we preach. What have we preached here? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. The words are in your mouth. But you have to open your mouth to let it out. The words could be in your heart, but you have to use it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth. And who are you confessing? The Lord Jesus. Not just a Jesus, not just a prophet Jesus. The Lord Jesus. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is not about a Jesus that's died and buried. This is about a Jesus that has died and has risen, who is able to save those who believe in Him, who has conquered death, who has passed up death, who is sitting in the heavenlies making intercession for all those who will believe. Oh man, if you would just confess with your mouth. Are you scared? I was scared. Because confession with your mouth means all of a sudden you're saying, God, here I am. I'm an open sheet of paper. Do what you will. That's how missionaries end up in places we don't want to go to. That man or woman, whoever it may be, has said, God, whatever you want me to do. Here's a blank sheet of paper. Here's my name. I'm yours. Can you do that? Can I do that? That's a scary thing to say, God, you have full power. Of course, we already know He already has full power, don't you? But I have speaking to you as people, to just to admit to yourself, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm yours. That's what happened when Isaiah said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. And the cherubim come in and took a coal off the fire and he touched his lips. He said, now, you notice his lips was fixed by God. He says, now you go. He says, send me, Lord. I'll go. It's easy to say, send me, Lord. But it's one thing to say, send me, Lord, and sit down there with tears and say, Lord, I'm scared to death, but send me anyways. I never looked to go to a jail. I never looked to go to a prison. That wasn't my mindset at all. But one day, Lord says, why would I give this guy money to go do something I ought to be doing? You see, there's a jail in every city. There's an old folks home in every city. And we'll give money to people to go do the job that maybe we ought to be doing ourselves. It's just a thought. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. This is not a head game. This is not a, let's see if Charlie can explain it in such a way that I can understand it. That I can be so spiritually close to God because He's so good at orating that I can believe. No, it's a man that believes or a woman that believes with their heart. I cannot make your heart get to the place it needs to be. I cannot say things that would... In Jude it talks about pulling them out of the fire with fear. Pulling them out of... Showing them how far down they would go. I can show you that. But only God can touch your heart and make you believe it. Only God can show you the fear of hell or the fear of God. You see, fear in hell is not a good reason to get saved. Fearing God's a great reason to get saved. the one who not only can cast your soul or your body into hell, he can also cast your soul into hell. It says here, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You know one thing about that? I can see your good works. I can hear you talk. But the thing is, I really do not get a full gist of your heart. Only God has a full gist of your heart. Sometimes I wonder when he looked at me, he said, man, that old boy, I wonder why I picked him, because sometimes his heart's this way and sometimes his heart's this way and he's just all over the road, but at least I'm heading down the road. You see, that's the thing about being on the road is you don't go back. You may bump the shoulder a little bit this way or bump the shoulder a little bit that way, but you're still heading down the road. My heart says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made of salvation. Well, the very first thing I remember doing when God saved me, you know, it's not when I said I got saved, when God saved me, is I had to tell somebody. I had to tell somebody. If you look at everyone in the Bible, the lepers, when God, Jesus says, I'll save you, but don't go tell nobody. What did they go do? They went and told somebody. The blind man, now I'm going to fix you, but don't go tell nobody. What did they do? They couldn't help themselves, but they went and told somebody. The man in the tombs that had legions of demons in him, very first thing that when he got, he was clothed and in his right mind, and he wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, go tell those folks up yonder. You know why? Because they know how you were. They know what you acted like. They know the demons that were in you, and they will see the difference in you. And if you'll notice, a few months down the road, Jesus comes back to that very same place, and they came out and received him. Just a few, the day that this man got saved, they run him off because all the pigs went and drowned themselves. They were scared to death of him. But after they heard this man's witness of what happened in his life, how Jesus had cast out the demons, how Jesus had healed him from all the things, how now he doesn't beat himself and whip himself and fight with himself, and he's all entangled stuff, and he's a lover of God, and they could see the difference in his life. Now the people around want to say, I want to go see this Jesus. Wow. I would hope that maybe I could ever get to that place where people see me and want to go see this Jesus. It says here, we'll never get done, will we? For the Scriptures, that's talking about this book right here, the Scriptures saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whoa. I could take that two ways. First of all, I could take it, if I believe on him, I shouldn't be ashamed. In other words, I am going to heaven. I am all right. No matter what anything happens, I'm okie dokie. Or I could say, whoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. If I'm not ashamed, why ain't I out using my mouth? Why ain't I out witnessing? Why ain't I out missionarying? Why ain't I out taking my pocket out helping people missionary? Why ain't I out doing these things? It says, the Scriptures say, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Also in Matthew, or one of those, it says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Oh, man. I guarantee you, I don't get everything right, but I don't want him to be ashamed of me. I want to be about the Father's business best I can. It says here, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. In other words, right now, in this time we're in, there's not a separation. The Jews get special preferential treatment and the Greeks get this. There is one church, Jew and Gentile, one body, Jew and Gentile, both saved the very same way by the grace of God through faith. It says here, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord, the same Lord, the same God, says the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. Believe it or not, I am more rich than I'll ever know. You're more rich than you'll ever know. I sit here and cry about not having nothing, and yet I have a father that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I have a father that owns all the treasury of heaven that could pour it out on anybody, anywhere he so fits to choose to do so. It says here, I have a Lord who is rich unto all that call upon Him. Firstly, I'm so rich because He so saw to set me in heaven. He so saw to call me out of darkness. He so put it upon my heart to believe on Him through faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That call upon Him don't just mean say, Jesus! No, it means to worship Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him, to understand He is God in the flesh, incarnate, the Savior of all who believe. That there, to whosoever shall call upon Him, is more than just saying, oh, Jesus, I said this magic prayer. If you're relying on a magic prayer, if you're going to look back 30, 40, 50 years later, remember when I said that prayer and I said you said you'd save me? I have a feeling those people that said that prayer back there are going to say, He's going to look at them and say, I never knew you. Lord, didn't I do this? And Lord, didn't I do that? And Lord, wasn't I one of those? And He's going to say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Because you see, to call upon the name of the Lord means you follow Him best you can day after day after day. And may I even say minute after minute after minute. Because this life we're in is after you. It will mess with you, and Satan will be after you all day long. It says, now then, how then? Not now then, but how then? How then, this is for us, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How can anybody call on anything they've never believed in? How can we just sit here and think that the guy will be yonder all of a sudden, miraculous, by osmosis, is going to see the church over here and say, wow, I need Jesus. Now, could it happen? Yeah. Is that the way it's supposed to happen? No. Somebody's supposed to go over there and tell him. Maybe not over there, but somewhere, someplace, somebody's supposed to tell him. It says, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? I don't see them busting down the doors, guys. I don't see them. You say, well, everybody's got TV and internet and everything else. I don't see them busting that stuff down either. When I flip through the channels, when I see some of them crazy folks on TV, I keep flipping. And believe me, unless I was being directed as a safe person to go to an internet site to actually look something up, I wouldn't be doing that either. You think that lost people just go to God's sites and say, let me find out what God's doing? Probably not. It's great that we have all those sermons out there, but usually those sermons are being heard by people who already believe. I'll take that where it goes. I mean, I'm not trying to pick. I'm just saying, this is me. This is us. This is all of Landmark Missionary Baptist Church everywhere. But it says here, and how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You say, well, don't Romans say some will be pastors and some will be teachers and some will be... Yeah, it does. That's for in here. Out there, you're the preacher. Out there, you're the teacher. Out there, you're the witness. In here, yes, by the grace of God, hopefully we'll have some pastor that will hold us to a standard, teach us, mold us, grow us. Out there, while I'm not supposed to be like them, while I'm not supposed to act like them, I'm supposed to be a witness, a preacher for Jesus Christ. I have actually seen little kids in Walmart and bent down and says, do you know who Jesus is? Of course, nowadays some people say, well, you pervert. That's the way folks think. But I planted a little bit of seed. Do you know who Jesus is? Hopefully mom and dad would think about who is Jesus. Maybe I need to bring them to a church house, hear about Jesus. But how shall they know about Jesus? How shall they know about the real Jesus? If nobody in here ever witnesses to them. It says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? He says, oh, see there? Now I ain't got to go. I'm not sent. I beg to differ. In Matthew 28, it says, all of us, Jesus Christ, having full authority to send you, me, everybody here, unto all nations. Whether we actually, we all, I'm guilty of this. Well, I'll send the missionary. Man, it don't hurt me to throw. There you go, Mr. Missionary. Go get them. But that's not what that means. First of all, it means I get my hands and my feet dirty somewhere out there. I get where I'm at a place where somebody just might look at me like I'm a kook or a nut. At work, people say, we can't talk freely because you're in here. Would you please leave? I'll leave because that's what they choose to do. But if your witness is that strong that they'll ask you to leave the room so they can talk freely, maybe you've got a witness. But if you can be in the same place they're at and they're okay with you being there while they tell their dirty jokes and they say their bad stuff and they're flirting with this lady down the hall or whatever, and you're not bothering them, how can they believe without a preacher? How can they be under conviction, not just worldly conviction, but godly conviction? It's godly sorrow that comes to salvation, not this worldly stuff. It says, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace. I used to hate that verse. Feet's ugly, really. Sometimes they're covered in dirt, toes twist every which way. But it says here, how beautiful are the feet. How beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace. This is not the gospel of anger. This is not the gospel of fight. This is the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. And bringing glad tidings of good things. Who wouldn't want to hear that there's an escape plan? Who wouldn't want to hear that there's a God that saves all who come unto Him? Who wouldn't want to believe that if I eat up with cancer, there's someone who could cure me? Who wouldn't want to hear that? It says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Jesus saves. Over the battle cry, Jesus saves. In the islands, over the here, in the valleys, on the mountains, Jesus saves. It says, but they have not all obeyed. No, that's not my fault. That wasn't Isaiah's fault. That's not going to be your fault. You say, didn't I? I should have preached better. I should have taught better. I should have had more study time. That's not what that says. That's not what it says. Now, I don't say you shouldn't be the best you can. I'm not saying you ought not study to show yourself approved. What I'm saying is, He never said, wait till you're a doctorate degree before you go witness to somebody. He said, preach what you got. When I got saved, I didn't know nothing except for the fact that I got saved. And I went to where all my heathen friends were, the only ones I knew, the ones I hung around with, and I told them, you guys need to get saved. It wasn't long, they didn't want to talk to me no more. That's okay. Who hath obeyed? The problem wasn't with me. I did what I was told to do. I did it out of love because these folks I knew, so closely for years, that I knew that when I got saved, they needed what I got. Do you really love the people you know so much that they need to have what you got? Do I still love people like that? That the people I work with need to know what I got? It says here, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? You see, I'm still supposed to preach. The burden is not on me. The burden's on God. The burden's on God. It says, so then faith. How do we get faith? By grace. So then faith cometh by hearing. Not just hearing of my words, which it should bring some interest to your heart, but there's a hearing from the God Himself. There's a hearing from God Himself that when He calls you out of darkness and says, now is the time. Now is the accepted day. In the day of your salvation, I have secured thee. Listen close for God. Are you listening? Are you fighting? It says, so then faith cometh by hearing. In other words, I would say, no matter where you're at, you need to be in the church house as much as you can just to hear the Word of God. Every opportunity you get, you need to be talking to somebody who knows something about Jesus. Because faith cometh by hearing. How shall they believe except somebody tell them? Me and you, we ought to be ready always to tell somebody what Jesus has done for us. Oh, wow. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This book is the Word of God. In Thessalonians it said, they heard the Word as if it were the Word of God. If only you would hear this book. Hear the Word. I've been reading right out of this book, so you've been getting the Word of God. It says here, if you would just hear this book and understand it as the Word of God. That God is telling you it's you that needs to be saved. It was me back then that needed to be saved. It was me that day when the preacher spoke this verse telling me how terribly unforgiving I am. And some of you know how my unforgiving gets sometimes. Just think that 20 times over before salvation. How hard it was for me to let things go. For a man who never saw me before in his life to be able to take the Word of God, strike me right in the heart with who I am, and give you the same thing for you. It may not be that verse. It may be some other verse. But it will be the Word of God that will nail you right where you're at to what you need to do. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, not by jibber jabber, not by telling of stories, not by folk tales, and not by, but by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily the sound went into all the earth. We know good and well that the gospel's been preached everywhere. Even missionaries, well, they ain't never been to Africa. Man, they were people in Africa before we were ever born. They've been everywhere. It says here, yes, verily the sound went into all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses said, I will provoke them to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger them. And if I have angered anybody here, it's not my point to anger anybody. I'm not my point to say you ought to do this. In fact, the Arminianism wouldn't be one to tell you, say you need to do more, do more, do more, or you're guilty, guilty, guilty. But what I'm trying to say is, we could never do enough regardless. We could never do enough for what God has done for us. It says here, He would provoke you to anger. I get provoked every time I sit in the pew and hear someone preach. Not necessarily always to anger. But we should always be being provoked or pricked or twisted or something. Because if you could sit there and hear good preaching and think that you're just so good that nothing ever touches you or nothing ever touches me, then we forgot what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be getting here getting filled up. If there's anything that needs to be fixed, we need to be addressing it. If there's anything that needs to be changed, we need to be working at changing it. Whatever we need to be doing every time. Paul says he checked himself out. Now this is the great apostle Paul. He checked himself out. Now Paul's going to check himself out to see if he's in the faith. Whoa, I need to be checking myself out pretty regular. So it says here, I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was fond of them that sought me not. Like you said this morning in the devotion, God has even been gracious to those who do not believe or never will believe. They get blessed just because of the long suffering of God to save all those who will be saved. It says, I was fond of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't looking for Jesus Christ. I wasn't looking to have life eternal. The day that God came and got me, the only thing I wanted to do was have that man come and get out of my life so I could get back to what I was doing. Maybe you're different. But it says here, he came to me when I wasn't looking. He came to where I was when I wasn't wanting. And he saved me right where I was at. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I hope that I would not get like Israel. I hope that I would not get to have all the ordinances and all the things that Israel was given, all the blessings that Israel was given for years and years and years before we ever got into the picture, sort of, kind of. And to be disobedient to what God has said to do. To be a gainsaying person, as you preach. Paul didn't preach for money and for wealth and stuff like that. He preached the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, most of us will preach and teach, and the only reward we'll get is up there. I don't know how many people are saved. I don't have a list in my little book of all the people that said they got saved, because them saying they got saved and being saved is between them and God. I don't know. And I certainly don't want anybody to say they're saved just because I forced them or pushed them or twisted their arm into saying something. That would be a false thing for me to be boasting about. Also be a false thing for them to believe in. But what I do say is, come unto Jesus today. Come now while the day's fair. You know, I will say this also before we close this thing out. You're sitting here, some of y'all are young. Some of y'all are real young. And no matter how young you are, or how old you are, there ain't a single one of us can guarantee ourselves that we'll be here tomorrow. No matter how much muscles you got, there's nothing saying you'll be able to have the strength tomorrow to do anything. There's been people who were triathletes who dropped dead in their tracks. And then there's been people who were so overweight that they lived forever, seemed like. I'm not saying don't exercise. Don't miss that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, you have no power over how long you'll live. You have no power inside yourself to say, I've heard the message. I understand the message. But I'm going to wait till later. If you're waiting till later, my Bible says you're probably going to split hell wide open. You probably will. There's not very many old folks get saved. I'm not saying God can't save them, because if He plans on saving you, He'll get you. But what I'm saying is, right now, is the time. Or else I can take that verse out of Corinthians. Let me read that again. Let me make sure I didn't misunderstand it. In chapter 6 it says, for he said, of course it's in parentheses, so it says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Now that could be, I don't know when your day is. And in the day of salvation, your day of salvation, in your day of salvation, I have succored thee. The day that he got saved was his day. The day that I got saved was my day. But I'm telling you right now is the day. Because if Jesus Christ comes back any moment, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, within the next few moments. It's a very pretty good fact according to Thessalonians, because y'all heard some pretty good stuff, that you'll believe the lie and you'll follow the Antichrist. And that's not me trying to be ugly. That's just what the Word of God says. If Jesus Christ raptures out the church right now and you're left in this pew, I would be scared to death. Stop for the invitation. If God has so saved you, come let us know.
Before we sing, brother, this